I have been enjoying this class, Larry. I've been actually listening to this. I know it's live and all that stuff.
Right.
And I know we've been talking off and on all day. Last night, we were talking at lunch today and then dinner tonight.
Exactly.
So now these topics that we're talking about now are interesting to me as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So what Larry does is he says, hey, let's do these together. And I'm like, what? I didn't write your book. You know all that stuff. So
I in this session, I want to talk about holy men, holy buildings. I think they're myths.
Yeah.
I think there's this myth that you have to have this holy man stand a holy pulpit, giving a holy message. And I believe you honor leadership. We believe in the whole body of Christ, the whole deal. But I believe with house church.
Yeah.
I believe there's so many people who could be in a role of leadership because God's called all of us to be ministers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't need some holy building someplace to go to. I mean, praise God, if God's given the church a building and want to use that, fine. But
yeah.
Man, there's another way. It wasn't in the Bible for 323 years after Jesus. I mean, they met from house to house, and you know that.
Well, I just came back from a vacation with my wife, and I got one of those early church books and dug deep into such things as, you know, where they met, what they did.
Right.
Because we're doing this whole launch of a house church movement, I thought, you know, we better get into this. And we planted a house church a couple of months ago. I've had off and on house churches with my various church plants.
Right.
We've supported house churches at CLI.
Yeah.
So I dug deep into this whole thing. It is fascinating how no holy buildings and no, quote, holy, unquote, men occupied the first couple hundred years of the early church.
Exactly.
And in dramatic ways.
Yeah.
I mean, even their ordination, it wasn't this like big bishop type thing. And these were ordinary people.
They were ordinary people who had other jobs in many cases.
Yeah.
I mean, Priscilla and Aquila and Paul, these guys were business partners at least for a season.
Yeah.
They were making tents and doing the whole construction thing.
Yeah.
But they're doing that at the same time. They were church planters, and they had the church in the house with Aquila and Priscilla. Of course, Paul was starting all these churches everywhere he went, circled back, and during the ordained elders, 2 years old in the Lord, some of these people are less. They were elders in the church. Come on.
I know.
That was the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And so that's what we saw for the first 300 years in the early church.
I was just recently at a church I preached at Sunday morning. The church was absolutely gorgeous. I would imagine if you build that church today, that church would be about $3 million. I was asked to preach. There were about 60 people in a sanctuary of about 300 to 400. They still have money, but everybody's about 60 to 80 years old with a few smatterings of younger.
Yeah.
And as I was sitting in the front pew waiting to mount the pulpit, I thought to myself, oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
I mean, this building, and there hasn't been a new believer there in a long time.
I've been telling the students that I've learned so much from John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church.
You know
him well.
Yeah.
And studied his journals, studied the church history of all that he had done, and Charles Wesley and all they had done. It's really interesting because there was this move of God and thousands coming into the kingdom. And all these coal miners, I mean, just the common, ordinary people training them. He believed one out of every six persons could be a leader.
Yeah.
He really believed that. And they had their class meetings. They asked her three or four questions for accountability. You know, some of my Methodist pastor friends have told me this. They said, Larry, what you read is true. It really happened. But they said, really, today? And these are my Methodist pastor friends saying that.
Who often have old buildings with about 20 people there.
Exactly. And, here's what they said. They said, today, many times, what's happening today is a memorial from the movement that happened in the past.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's not me saying that. That's often some of my friends who are, you know, still called to that system, and I appreciate that very much. But let's do it again. I mean, let's believe God for new moves of God, for a new generation to plant, new churches that have real Christianity that's based on relationship with God and relationship with people.
You know, in my reading recently, I came upon a quote from Pliny. So here Pliny is this guy who is a local magistrate, and he's trying to please the Emperor Trajan. Okay. So in this quote, around 110 AD, this quote is about how Christianity is spreading everywhere. It's spreading into every class. Yeah. It's spreading into every region of their area. And Pliny is trying to say to the emperor, it's a good thing you're persecuting Christians. Okay, and this is how he makes this case. He says, I kidnapped two female slaves who are deacons. He even uses the word, and it's translated then into Latin. It's the first time that deacon was used in Latin as ministry in public record.
Interesting.
So I kidnapped two female ministers, deacons, and I tortured them to find out what this cult was all about. Okay? Now, he was trying to make a point to Trajan.
Yeah.
He was saying, there are no holy men in this movement.
Yeah.
They have slaves. The slaves are leaders.
Wow.
The slaves are women.
Right.
This movement, this is breaking down the order of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say, after he said this, and it's good you give attention to this because it's spreading and nothing we do stops it.
Wow. That is amazing.
So again, we're back to the deal of, you know, how did Christianity spread? It was the work of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and it captured the hearts and the imaginations of people that were completely unlike, you know, unliked by the Roman Empire.
Yeah. What's happening again? I mean, I meet them. I'm sure you meet them all over the world. People who come from different kinds of religious persuasions, different denominations, but they have this heart for simplistic Christianity, just organic Christianity, that people love Jesus, they're reading the Word of God, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're reaching their neighbors for Christ, and they're simply saying, we don't have to have, you know, a big building or a big program to do that.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
again, praise God for the good program. I'm not saying that's wrong at all,
right.
but there's this whole group of people that I'm sure you find, in the nations who are saying, that's the way it works. When I was in China ministering to leaders of the underground church, I was amazed. Because, you know, they were just starting church, you know, 25,000 people coming to Christ every day.
Just
crazy, you know, amazing.
Right,
And I sat down and heard their hearts and talked to them. And I said, what are you going to do when you no longer have to be underground? Are you going to keep doing this? They said, we don't want to ever stop. We want to keep doing it just the way we're doing it now, even if there's no persecution. Because this is something that's working and something that God's doing.
You know, I'm going to ask you something. You really believe this, don't you?
I do. I really do.
And I believe that I really believe this.
Yeah.
And everybody, I want you to know, I'm around this man who believes this, and I believe this, but just being around you, I look into your eyes, and I see the fire.
Yeah.
That, you know, and nothing is going to hold the work of the Lord back on us. I mean, it's disruptive.
It is.
It's not going to be revitalizing old buildings.
No.
It's not going to be, you know, holding up, you know, this high stratus ordination to people who've now done all this education to the point where the fire is educated out of them. It's going to be ordinary people that are at Christian Leaders Institute that you meet at Dove International.
Exactly.
And we're going to give them the training they need.
Yes, we are.
Yep. And the opportunity to be able to plant house churches.
Exactly.
Organic churches.
Yeah.
Simple churches.
Exactly.
Micro churches.
Exactly.
A church here, a church there.
And we will bless every kind of church at the same time. Well, you know, I was a mega church pastor. I know that's right. We'll bless that.
I did the Willow Creek thing.
So we'll bless
you. Yeah.
Because if God's leading someone to do that, that's fine.
Yes.
But let's open our hearts. I mean, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your experience has been, let's open our hearts to the Lord and to what He wants to do in this generation and give those a chance who have this burning of their hearts to plant these new kind of churches. Be there for them. Pray for them. Encourage them so they can be all God's ever called them to be and so we can see the revival come.
You know, I'll tell you, I believe this guy. I mean, I kid you not. I mean, this... Being around him, I feel the Holy Spirit has so moved my heart on this. And I just, again, I...
Well, we're going to partner together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
let's keep going. Very good.